This evening from the Word of God, we do want to study about what it means to be children of light. And this is another one of those topics. We could fill the whole thing just studying that. But we do want to provoke our thoughts along the lines of what the Lord teaches us in His Word, some of the things that He encourages us in being children of light. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, really we see that this is at the heart of what it means to belong to the Lord's church, because the word church in Greek is the word ekklesia, which means the called out ones. And in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, he specifies what we've been called out of and what we've been called to. 1 Peter 2 verse 9 says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Now, before we were in Christ, when we were in this world, dead in our trespasses and sins, we were living in and walking in the darkness of this world. But we've been called out of that. We are the called out ones. We've been called into God's marvelous light. So there he makes that distinction between light and darkness, between what is of God and what is of this world, what we've been called out of to what we've been called to. And so we've been called out of that darkness that we were in into God's marvelous light, and therefore we are to be children of light. So this is going to encompass everything that we're trying to accomplish as Christians, as members of Christ and of His body, His church. And we don't want to think about that in the wrong way. And our language needs to reflect that understanding that we have of who we are, and the fact that we've been called out of the darkness of this world into God's marvelous light. And when we speak of the church, we need to speak about what it is, and that we are children of light, and that we are the called out ones. So it's not the building, and we don't want to speak casually about that or mistakenly about that. This is not the building that we're in is not the church. We are the church who are meeting in this building. So this is just a location where we're assembling together in the name of Christ. But we, as children of God, are His church when we're in Christ, and we are children of light. And that's language that God uses, and that's also the way we want to speak about it. Well, let's turn to Matthew chapter 5, and we'll see that this point is one of the main reasons why it is God's will that we be in this world. We've been called out of the darkness of this world, but He has not called us physically to remove ourselves from this world and from being around any of the people of this world. We're not to be partakers of the evil deeds of this world. We're not to be partakers of those unfruitful works of darkness that we once were in. We've been called out of that. But we still have a great responsibility as being God's children in this world. Though we're not to be of the world, we do have a great purpose for being in it that he speaks about here as Jesus was preaching in this Sermon on the Mount in verses 13 through 16, where he said, "You're the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. You're the light of the world. A city is set on a hill, cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." So what is one of the major reasons why it is important for us to be in this world? This is the reason why we don't just decide to build some compound way out in the boondocks somewhere and build our little houses there and just remove ourselves physically from the world and have no association with anybody but ourselves. That's not going to accomplish God's will as he's speaking about it here. This world needs to see light. This world needs to taste the salt. Now, if we're of the world, what light is there? And what salt is there? And what have we done with one of the major purposes for our being here? We've really forfeited that reason for being here when we are of the world, because if there's no distinction between us and the world, then our light is not shining. We're dark like the world. What's the point of our being here? And that's what he says about the salt. Salt with no flavor to it, what do you do with it? What good is it? It's useless. And we don't want to be useless to God in this world. We want to be useful to him to be tools in his hand to be an example to this world, to shine as lights in this world. And when people see our good works, and that's the way we let our light shine, by doing good works. Now, does that mean that we're trying, that we're going out with the purpose of trying to garner the praise and glory of men by the things that we do? No. But when we serve the Lord, will it be noticeable that the way we speak, that the way we conduct ourselves is different from the way the people of the world speak and the way they conduct themselves and behave? I mean, our way of living is going to be different. We will be peculiar people if we are following Christ and keeping his commandments. And when people see that and see that difference, what's going to happen in the end when they recognize that light? Well, he says that our Father in heaven is going to be glorified by those who see our good works. Now, does that mean it's going to happen in this life? Well, that would be one of our hopes, that we could be a good example to those in the world, that some would ask us a reason of that hope that's in us, as he speaks about in 1 Peter 3:15, and that we could then be ready to give an answer when they ask us. And some might, by our example, be won to Christ. He even mentions that in the first two verses of 1 Peter chapter 3 regarding what Christian women, as one of the specific examples, can accomplish if they so happen to be converted after their marriage and they have a spouse that's not a Christian. He may be won by their chaste behavior, by their good works. And so that is our hope, that some could see our good works and glorify God now and have that work to their eternal good by then learning God's will from us and then perhaps be converted to Christ. But even if that doesn't happen, even if they reject us or reject the truth that we're following, in the end, on the day of visitation, on that day of judgment, they are still going to give God glory for the good works that we've done. He says that in 1 Peter 2, verse 12, where he tells us to have our conversation, our behavior, honest among the Gentiles, talking about the spiritual Gentiles, those of this world. He says that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. So even if they don't turn to the Lord now, having seen those good works that we do, in the end, they're still going to glorify God for the good works they've seen. So our life for the Lord is going to be a glory to God no matter what when we keep his commandments. And that's a big part of God's will for us to be in this world. Philippians chapter 2, 14 through 16. Again, emphasizes the same point. Philippians 2, 14 to 16. Now, I could make it easy on everybody, including myself, by just skipping verse 14 and starting at verse 15. But it's part of the same sentence, and it's a part that really will probably get on most of our toes when he says, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings." Now, is that easy? And do we do that? Do we accept whatever happens, recognizing that it's the will of God and that he's going to work it together for our good? Or do we easily fall into the pattern of murmuring and complaining about things that happen? And how many things go wrong in a given day? Well, there are lots of things, and there the devil is tempting us. He wants us to be murmurers and complainers. Well, how are we different than everybody else if we do that? I mean, what happens when we're in the slow line in the grocery store? I mean, everybody gripes about that. And if we're doing the same thing, then how are we really shining as lights then? And he uses that point to go on to say in verse 15, that you may be. Now, what does that then say? If we are being murmurers and complainers, are we able to be whatever it is he's telling us we need to be in verse 15? So this is going to enable us to fulfill God's will in this way. In verse 15, where he says that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. So he was encouraging them, don't be murmurers and complainers. You need to shine as lights in the world. This is a crooked, this is a perverse generation that we live in. It was so back in Paul's day. It's still so in our time. But we have the opportunity to shine as lights in this world by our good behavior. And if we want an example of a way we can behave that will stand out, well, there's one of them. And hereby refraining from doing something, by not murmuring and complaining, at the times when everybody else would be doing so. But we could look at any other example that we have in God's Word where we're given a commandment of His to obey. And whenever we do that, we're doing good works and we're shining as lights in this world. But we need to be doing that. That's what God has put us in this world to do. Well, if we turn to John chapter 12, we see another point about being children of light. John chapter 12, verses 35 and 36. Then Jesus said unto them, "Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While you have light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of light." These things spake Jesus and departed and did hide himself from them. Well, this is what he spoke at the time that he was physically among them. But the point that he's teaching, especially there in verse 36, is still true for us today. Walking in the light, being children of light, is contingent upon the condition that we have to meet here in order to do that is to believe in the light. He says, "Believe in the light that you may be the children of light." We have to believe in the one that is the light, Christ. And not too long ago, we spent some time studying about how his life is the light of men. Well, there Jesus is the light. Of course, he referred to himself that way. His life is our light. But we need to believe in him, believe in that light in order to walk in it. Now, how are we going to walk in or do something if we don't believe in it? See, that's not going to happen. If we don't believe in Christ, in his light, and all that that entails, then we're not going to be able to be children of light and walk in his light. So we have to believe in the light, in Christ. If we turn to John chapter 1, 10 through 12, we'll see that that's not just a small thing or something that's very simple or just is referring to one little thing. This is something that is quite deep, and there are different parts to it. When it comes to believing in the light, believing in Christ, well, who is he? Who are we believing in as the light? Well, one of the points he makes here in John 1, 10 through 12, is about the fact that Jesus is our creator. He's our maker, and we belong to him. And we need to believe in him as our creator and our owner, and all that that involves. Let's look at verses 10 through 12 of John 1. "He," speaking of Christ, "was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name," on his authority. What authority does Christ possess as maker? Because that's the context of this passage. He made all things. John 1, 1 through 3 starts with that point right here in this Gospel of John. And so he's continuing with that there as we get to verse 10. But Jesus came into this world to be among the very ones that he made himself, and came to save the ones he created. And he came unto his own, the ones who belong to him. They are his own. We are his own. Well, he owns us as our maker. Now, do we believe in him as our creator and what that means? Well, if he's our creator, and does he not possess the authority then to direct us in our lives, in every facet of our lives, exactly what we are to do? Down to our very thoughts, every word we speak, every deed that we do. Which is why Colossians 3 verse 17 says that we need to do all in the name of the Lord. Everything that we speak and everything that we do needs to be in his name, by his authority. Well, here we have to believe in that authority. If we're going to walk in and do everything by that authority in his name, we have to believe in the authority that he has. And he starts with the point about his being our creator. We know he's also the one that died for us, gave his life for us, and we owe our life to him in return. So there's much to the fact that Jesus is the light that we have to believe in order to be children of light and walk in that light. 1 John chapter 3, 1 through 3. He says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." Now does that sound similar to what we were just reading in John 1, 10 through 12? Well, it is. And then verse 2 says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Now that faith that we have in Christ, the one who is the light, should and must then provoke us to walk in that light. And then he gets into some of the particulars there of what we're going to then do as a result of that. Purifying ourselves even as he is pure. And we're going to have the opportunity, Lord willing, before we close tonight, to look at some more of that. Now when we see in John 3, if we turn there to the Gospel of John again, and notice we're looking at a lot of scriptures in that book because there's a lot of material in here in John about being the children of light. If we believe in the light, in Christ, the one that the Father has sent to reveal the new covenant, who are we going to listen to? Who are we going to be coming to? If we believe in him, are we going to come to him to hear him and to hear his words? Well, that's what he's speaking about here in John 3, 19 through 21. He says, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God." Now notice the attitude that children of light will have. Now what's the, and I'm sure you've had the experience at some point in your lives where you have to get up in the night for some reason, you flick on the light switch, and all of a sudden some very unpleasant things start heading for the darkness as soon as light's thrown on them. Some of those that I particularly don't like. But at any rate, there's certain creatures that aren't going to be anywhere near light. You turn it on and they're gone. And really, what's he describing people being like of this world? When this light shines right here, they're scattering. They don't want to get anywhere near that. Because of what reason? The light of Christ and his teachings, it exposes, it reveals the deeds of those who are in this world that they're evil. And do people want to change? Do most people want to hear the truth that what they're doing, the way they're living, is wrong? Or do we hear so often today, you can't judge anybody or anything? And what is that aimed at? Well, it's not our judgment, it's his judgment. And what they're saying is, we don't want to hear anything that condemns what we're doing. And why is that? Because they love the darkness. They love to do what they do, and they don't want anything or anybody to expose it as being evil to condemn it. But now, if we are going to do the truth, if we're going to be of the truth, if we're going to be children of light, what is our attitude going to be towards the Word of God? And what it's going to be at the heart of the very reason why we come to open these pages and study this. Our purpose of being here primarily is not so we can look at this and think about, you know, that really nails so-and-so over there, and think about how this is such a great application to somebody else. I mean, that it should be a great application to all of us, but who should we be thinking about first? When we come to God's Word, what are we supposed to be thinking about and looking for? Well, he tells us in verse 21 that we are to be coming to the light so that our deeds will be manifest, that they're wrought in God. We should want to know for certain that what we're doing is right according to what God says and the way he sees it. And what's the only way we're going to know that? We don't want to just assume we're right. We don't want to just think we're right. We don't want to be like those he talks about in Proverbs 14:12, the way that seems right to a man, the end thereof, are the ways of death. So we don't want it just to seem right to us, to think it's right. We need to know it's right. And how are we going to know it? We have to go to this Word of God to look there. We want to see the light to make sure that what we're doing is right. That's going to be a characteristic of a child of light, and that needs to be us. Not to avoid the light, to come to it to see whether we're right or wrong. We don't want to just assume we're right in everything. And we certainly don't want to be have that attitude of nobody can tell us anything and that we're going to always be right about everything and not listen to anything that God says. We need to come with a humble heart, considering ourselves and looking into his light to accept the truth there. In Psalm 119, verse 105, once again, we do recognize that God's word is the light that we're to follow, to show us what to do and how to live. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. But again, we see there is a certain attitude we have to come to that light in order for it to benefit us so that we can walk in it. Verse 59, there the psalmist says, I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. If all we do is read the words that are here, we can read Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22:21. We can read it all. We need to, but if that's all we do is just read it, and we don't stop and think about ourselves and think on our own ways and then look here and say, now, is what I'm doing right? Is what I'm doing what he says here in this book? And if we're not thinking like that, like this one was, if we're not thinking on our ways, how are we going to turn our feet to his testimonies? So we have to think on our own ways. We have to examine ourselves to see whether we're in the faith, as he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. We need to prove our own selves, test ourselves by his word. Now this is what he's talking about in James chapter 1, 22 through 25, when he describes the word of God as our spiritual mirror that we're to come and look at ourselves in, to be doers of the word and not hearers only. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. See, there again is the attitude that we've got to come to this book with. That we want to look in the mirror. We want to see ourselves and see what we're really like, so that we can change what needs to be changed. So that we can see what's wrong according to what God says and fix it. So we can change. And if we don't have a humble heart that we're willing to accept correction, we're not going to benefit by coming to this word and reading it. All we're going to do is read and learn things. And have you ever seen somebody that can quote lots of scripture, but they're not living by it? And what good is that? So we need to hear it, but then do it. And the only way that's going to happen is if we humble ourselves and look in that mirror and see what's there that needs to be changed and then change it. Proverbs chapter 9, 6 through 9. Teaches us this humility we have to have in order to understand God's word. Verse 6 says, forsake the foolish and live and go in the way of understanding, the road of understanding. There's a pathway there. There's a road we have to walk in order to understand God's word. And at the heart of it, again, is our humbling ourselves to receive the correction that's there. He says in verse 7, he that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame. And he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. That needs to be us. That we need to be ready to humbly receive the correction from God's word. And when God's word is rebuking something we're doing and the way that we're living, we need to change what we're doing. Not twist the scriptures to try to make it fit and justify what we're doing. We need to change what we're doing to fit what God teaches in his word. Also in chapter 15, verses 30 and 31 of the same book of Proverbs, he says, the light of the eyes rejoiceth the heart, and a good report maketh the bones fat. Verse 31, the ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. Verse 32, he that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. So we need to hear the reproof of life. We need to hear reproof in order to get understanding. We're not going to get it if we don't listen to the correction. If we reject it, we're not going to gain an understanding and grow in it. Proverbs 19, verse 25, same point there. He says, smite a scorner, and the simple will beware, and reprove one that hath understanding, and he will understand knowledge. Someone who understands, who has that humility, is going to understand more from the correction of God's word, because he's going to receive that correction that is there. That's part of coming to the light, and that's the only way that we're going to then be able to grow in Christ. Well, let's turn now to John chapter 11. Being children of light requires us to walk in the light. John 11, 9 and 10. Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. Well, we don't want to be walking in the darkness, stumbling around. We need to know where we're going, but we need to see His light to know that. But then we need to walk in that light that we see. We need to be light as children of light. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. This is what we have to do in order to be in fellowship with God and with the children of God, those who are children of light. We have to walk in the light. 1 John chapter 1, 5 through 7. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. How much light is gone? He's all light, no part darkness. What are we supposed to be walking in? We're supposed to be walking in the light. And He says that we have to walk in the light in order to have fellowship with Him. Because if we say we have fellowship with God and we're walking in the darkness, He says we're lying. Because there's no darkness in Him. Is there any fellowship between light and darkness? No. And God is all light. So if we're walking in darkness, we can't be in partnership, which is what that word fellowship means, with God. And by the same token, to be in fellowship one with another, we also must walk in the light. Verse 7. So that all of us should be walking in the light, as God is in the light, to then be able to have fellowship with Him and with one another. So God instructs us to walk in the light. John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of light, the light of life. And then in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 10, as he talks about being the children of light in this passage, Ephesians 5, 8 through 10, he says, For you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And what do we see that means? We've got to walk in the light to be walking as children of light. Verse 9 says, For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. To walk as children of light, we've got to be proving what is acceptable to the Lord and have that fruit of the Spirit. Well, there are other passages such as Galatians 5, 22 through 24 that goes into more detail about what the fruit of the Spirit is. And it's not those works of darkness and the evil that's done by this world, that those things that we once walked in before. No more are we to walk in that darkness. Now we're to be children of light and to walk in the light. Well, as we saw in 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, there's no darkness in God. How much darkness can we have in us and still be walking in the light? Now, again, we have to understand that what we do from our thoughts, the way we speak, our behavior, all of those things are going to proceed forth from our spiritual heart. It tells us that in Luke, the 6th chapter. In verse 45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. If we want our words and deeds to be good, to be right, to be light, then where does the change need to take place? From our heart, in our hearts. So that from a good treasure, from that heart, we're going to bring forth the good things. So it's going to be according to what's in our heart, to what we think and say and do. So we need to grow in our hearts. Well, how much darkness can we have in our hearts if we want to have light to be what we're walking in, the way we're speaking, the way we're behaving? Well, we have to purge out that evil out of our hearts. That's what we saw earlier in 1 John 3, verse 3, that we will purify ourselves, purge ourselves literally, even as He is pure. Well, let's turn now to chapter 11 here in the book of Luke. And look at verses 34 through 36. He says, The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If thy whole body, therefore, be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. Well, there he's talking about what needs to be in our inner man. And what does it need to be? All light. How much dark? He says, having no part dark. all those things of darkness that were once there, that needs to be purged out. So he's describing the growth process spiritually that we have to go through as children of light. Well, let's look now at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6. It says, "For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." And making it clear where that light is to be shining, in our hearts. That's where it needs to be, and then there should be no part darkness there. So that's where the growth needs to take place. Back to the book of Ephesians, to chapter 4. Starting in verse 17, he says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. If so be that you've heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." There he's describing that process of being transformed, being called out of that darkness into his marvelous light. Well, that's what it's talking about right there, is we grow in heart and therefore will change in the way that we live. And there needs to be no part darkness in us. We need to be children of light. And we saw as that continued on into chapter 5, as we read a portion of that also a while ago. 1 John chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. "Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him." We have to love one another in order to be walking in the light. That itself is worthy of an entire lesson and then some. But he tells us that's one of the ways that we can measure ourselves and see whether we are walking in the light. Do we love our brother? If we don't, we're not walking in the light. Romans chapter 13, 12 through 14 tells us then to put on the armor of light. Romans 13, 12 to 14. "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put you on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." See, those are those things that we walked in before. He says, put those things away. We need to put on Christ. And while we're doing so, part of that means putting on the armor of light, as he calls it there. Well, we have the opportunity right now in our Wednesday night class. We're studying in Ephesians 6, and we're in the middle of that passage in verses 11 through 16 there, where we're studying about the whole armor of God and what it does for us. Well, that's that armor of light that he was describing in Romans 13 that he tells us to put on. And in Ephesians 6, 11 through 16, he says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." So there he's describing that armor that he tells us to put on, by which we will be able to stand against the wiles of the devil and be able to quench all of his fiery darts. So he's encouraging us there, as we are walking in the light, as we're growing in Christ, to be able to overcome sin, to overcome temptation. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I know we looked at that also this morning, but it has application to this study right now tonight as well. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us." Does that sound like putting on the armor of God and standing against the wiles of the devil, quenching those fiery darts of the wicked one? We need to lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. And he says, "Let us run with patience, with endurance, the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. This is our Christian race, walking in the light, believing in the one who is the light in Christ and following him all the way to that point of finishing our course. We close in Isaiah chapter 2, verse 5 tonight, where he says, "O house of Jacob, come ye, and let us walk in the light of the Lord." And so tonight we want to encourage anyone who has not yet come to him to walk in the light of the Lord to do so right now. If you have not yet repented of your sins, won't you do so now? Why not come out of that darkness that you're being called out of by God? You have the opportunity to walk in the light and to be a child of light, to be a child of God. And we're encouraging you to do that this evening by repenting and being baptized in Christ for the remission of your sins. If you're a Christian and if you've not been walking in the light as you should, if you need to repent of that tonight, and you can have the prayers and encouragement of your brothers and sisters in Christ tonight, and we're encouraging you also to come if that is your need. So if you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, please won't you do so right now while we stand and sing.